Chapter 30. Hero. Mask. Last Light. Thandamel reeled from the blinding light of the Pharos. The crew of the Nightfall ran before it, too terror-stricken to pay heed to their master's barked orders. Mortal men and women clutched at their faces as the beacon's light seared their retinas blind. Alarms howled. Fearing attack, the Nightlords on the bridge opened fire, gunning down their own crew, firing wildly into the howling light. Through the screaming maelstrom, others came. They came in pieces, limbs and heads blasting like cannonballs from light-years away, translocated instantaneously by the Pharos. When they hit flesh, they pulverized it. An Atramentar Terminator, his body mangled, hurtled through the portal and slammed into a crew station, destroying it utterly. More bodies came through. Some had melted, their armor and skin run together like wax. One appeared unharmed, stumbling to a stop on the deck, only to be gunned down by his nervous brethren. Thandamel forced himself to look into the vortex. The aperture allowing him to see into the cavern on Sotha was shrinking, whirling away into a twist of heatless flame.
"Stop firing!" ordered Thandamel. "Cease!"
The light grew brighter and brighter, then gave out with a thunderclap that knocked the warriors of the flagship to the ground. For a moment, the command deck of the Nightfall was a void of greenish-white light. Thandamel blinked away painful afterimages and got shakily to his feet. Alarm shrieked. Mortals screamed as they scrambled to exit the command deck. Scattered all about the plating, draped on crew stations, embedded in the fabric of the walls, were bodies. The Nightlords from Sotha were dead. All save Krukesh the Pale and Jendor Scryvok, the Painted Count. Krukesh knelt, the batwings on his Terminator cowl twisted askew. He clutched at his face, groaning, blood running between his fingers. Scryvok lumbered to his feet, fighting against the dead weight of his unpowered armor. Guns were leveled at him.
"Put up your weapons,"
he pointed a finger at Krukesh.
"Hearken to me. Krukesh had the chance to rescue Sevatar. He had the chance to find our Primarch, but he would not. He wanted power for himself and bent the power of the artifact on Sotha to his own ends."
"Jendor Scryvok," said Thandamel, "you are hardly the paragon of boundless altruism yourself."
"I am but a loyal son of our legion," said Scryvok.
He thumped a fist against his chest and bowed with difficulty.
"Do not listen to him,"
gasped Krukesh. He let his hands drop and looked around blindly. Within the coffin of his armor, his white face shone wetly with fresh pink burns.
"He is a poison! Kill him! Get me to the apothecary and restore my sight! Then we shall make our plans for the regrouping of the Legion."
Nobody moved.
"Kill him!"
commanded Krukesh.
"Why does no one act? I order you!"
His voice rose to a shriek.
"Kill Scryvok!"
Thandamel looked from Krukesh to Scryvok and back again. The rest of the Nightlords remained still. Scryvok laughed.
"They will not follow you, O mighty lord of the Cryoptera," he said nastily. "You have overstepped yourself. The spirit of the Legion lives on. You were unwise to believe you could seize it for yourself. Can't you see that?" "No, I suppose you can't."
Krukesh attempted to rise, but the weight of his crippled cataphractii armor was too great, and he howled impotently.
"You are conceited, arrogant, snapping at Scimitar's heels for scraps of glory, just as he whined after our father."
Scryvok stepped heavily over to the kneeling Cryoptera lord. He plucked a fallen bolt pistol from the deck. Krukesh hunted about for the source of the noise, his sightless eyes blinking. The Nightlord shifted uneasily. Thandamel held up a hand to stay them.
"There is but one law from Nostramo to cleave to, Krukesh the Pale. The strong shall prevail, and you are weak. Krukesh, the blind.
Scryvok fired a single bolt into the head of his superior.
Krukesh, the dead.
Krukesh sagged within his plate, blood sluicing from his shattered cranium. Scryvok calmly tossed the gun aside.
I kill only this traitor to the Legion. I am done with death today. Without our Primarch, we are finished as a unified force. We have two choices before us. Continue to follow Krukesh's example and watch our Legion fragment into petty bands under competing warlords, or reforge ourselves into a whole and press on to Terra to aid the Warmaster in his war against our greatest oppressor of all, the false Emperor of Mankind.
Fine sentiments, Scryvok, said Thandamel. We have no idea as to the location of the Night Haunter or the first captain who abandoned us. You forget we were already ordered to regroup, and without Sevatar or Kurz, the Cryoptera will continue to fall upon each other. The Legion is done, as are you. It is time we go our separate ways, and yours is darker than mine.
Bolt gun slides were racked. Scryvok laughed in the faces of his brothers.
If you would but listen, you would not aim your weapons at me. You would not be so eager to kill your own kind. You are out of time, painted count, said Thandamel.
He raised his hand.
I am not, said Scryvok. You will permit me to live, because I know things which will turn the tide of this war once we relay them to Horus.
He paused. Silence reigned, and he smiled.
Most importantly, that Gilliman's cronies at Sotha believe that Terra has already fallen. They are not moving to reinforce it. They skulk in Ultramar, licking their wounds, thinking that the Warmaster will one day turn his attentions to them. Terra stands without the Ultramarines, Sanguinius's Angels, or the First Legion. It will be ours for the taking.
Thandamel let out a long breath. His hand clenched and lowered slowly.
Very well. We will permit you to live. For now. Brothers, take his sword, then remove him to the brig.
Scryvok frowned.
I have no sword.
Then what is that?
Said Thandamel, pointing to his waist. Scryvok looked down with a rising sense of dread. Scabbarded at his side was the sword he had given to Kelenkir. Thandamel's warriors came for him. At the very edge of hearing, he heard a dry laugh. Pollux struggled to his hands and knees. The pain spikes were so much junk, like everything else in the room. All the illumination in the chamber was dead. The sun was over the horizon, and the light of early morning shone through the aperture of the promontory, highlighting curls of smoke. Shakily, he got up. He plucked the wrecked spikes from his interface ports and shattered his bonds with his emperor-given strength. He limped through the wreckage-strewn tuning floor towards the still form of the warsmith, his friend.
Brother Dantioch, he said.
Barabbas.
He cradled the warsmith in his arms, and hope bloomed in him. Dantioch lived for the moment. The iron warrior's mask lay on the floor, and so Pollux looked upon a face he had never seen. Dantioch was older than he expected. Lines of pain were etched into his scarred face that nothing could erase. His eyes opened. They moved sightlessly, blinded by the intense flare of the Pharos.
Alexis,
he whispered.
I am here, Barabbas.
The warsmith clutched at the arms encircling him.
I never thought to call one such as you friend,
he smiled.
You are my friend, Barabbas, and my teacher. I am dying.
You will live, Pollux said fiercely. Dantioch shook his head. Pollux wished he had water to give him, anything. His croaking voice became insistent.
Listen to me. I saw such things in the light. This war is only the beginning.
He swallowed, and his throat clicked painfully.
The beginning of the end.
Dantioch gasped and settled back, his strength finally leaving him.
But I am glad, Alexis. I am glad to have been. I am glad to have known you. It is something that friendship can exist at all in this universe of terror and betrayal. Quiet now. You must save your strength.
Dantioch's scarred mouth cracked into a smile.
I have no strength left. I have done my duty, and I am no longer ashamed.
His back arched in pain, and he gasped.
All hail the Emperor of Mankind, still beloved by all. May his dream be saved, even if we cannot.
A long, rattling breath escaped him, and his face stilled. Dantioch's body went limp in Pollux's arms.
Barabbas, cried Pollux. Barabbas! Brother!
He bent his head and wept for his enemy, his friend. Tenderly, he crossed Dantioch's arms upon his chest, as befit a champion of the legions who had fallen in service to the Imperium. The warriors of Ultramar would find Pollux there, hours later, his head still bowed in mourning.